Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Robert H. Bloom is a widely respected authority on business growth. He's the former U.S. chairman and CEO of Publicis Worldwide, and also advises firms of every type and size on their growth strategy. He's author of the new book, The New Experts: Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. Welcome to Edgewise, Bob.
It's a pleasure, Dave.
Bob, to begin with, I'm just curious, what is the current state of customer loyalty?
Customer loyalty has been on the decline for a very long time. What has happened is customer loyalty has continued to decline. And one statistic that will demonstrate that to anyone who doubts it is 30 years ago, 80% of all car buyers bought the same brand when they made a repeat purchase. 2009, 20% of those customers bought the same brand. I could give you statistics in almost every category, and I would say that customer loyalty, it's virtually dead. Of course, there are companies and people who remain very loyal, but in this generation, they're getting fewer and fewer, and the next generation, I believe it will be non-existent.
And what's responsible for this shift?
Technology, without question, is the instrument that's responsible for the customer's influence and power today. One, they have total information available to them on the internet. Let me just go back again to 30 years ago. If you wanted a brochure on a car, you'd have to go to your dealer because you couldn't get any information about that car. The dealer would then give you the information that you wanted, and you might say, I'd like it in green. And he'd say, I'm sorry, all I've got is blue and red today, in which case you'd say, okay, I'll take red. The point is, the seller was in total charge of the transaction. Today, it's the buyer, because buyers on the internet have access to comprehensive information about every product or service they want to buy. That's the first weapon they've been given. The second one actually has been given to them by the sellers, and that is they've got immense choice in every sector of commerce, whether it's B2B or retail. There are multiple choices in every category. So the reality, Dave, is if you don't sell me, then Charlie will sell me, and therefore I can play hardball with you. The third weapon is the most recent one. You can get price comparisons with a handheld device loaded with smart technology, and you can be in a store ready to make a purchase and compare the price at that moment and that location.
Okay, now you mentioned the internet. Is there some advice that you could give about online sites?
Yes, make your website. Do two things. One, grab people immediately and hold them long enough so they can become familiar with your company. And the second is make sure that the navigation is easy, it's smooth. Don't make it difficult for your customers. If a marketer has a nickel to spend on anything, put it in your website.
Now, the subtitle of your book is Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. What are these moments?
The first one is a now or never moment. The first brief contact. Usually it's seconds, not even minutes. Let's say you go on a search for an automobile and you go to three dealers' websites and one dealer turns you off immediately and he's gone. Let's say you call the dealer on the phone and they say, yes, just a minute, please. And you hold and you hold and you hold. And then finally you hang up. You walk by a jewelry store to get an item for your anniversary and you don't see anything in this particular jewelry store window. So you march on and you buy something down the street. So the first contact is brief. The point is, if you don't win the prospect at the now or never moment, at his or her first contact, you never get to the other three moments. The second moment is the make or break moment, the lengthy transaction process. Now, many sellers still believe that transaction is when the cash register rings or a credit card slip is handled or a contract is signed. That's fallacious. A transaction is a long process, and there are three components to it. One is consideration. I'm considering buying this. I'm thinking about it. That takes a long time for gestation. Meanwhile, I'll poke around and see what about that product I'd like. The second one is negotiation. That's lengthened the transaction process because now the negotiation is frequently fierce. The customer has a lot of information, and many times he or she is talking to a seller who has less information. And then third, you finally get the transaction. It's a very vulnerable moment. Anything could go wrong with it. And those of you who are business leaders, you know your sales head comes and says, don't worry about it, boss. We'll get that contract signed tomorrow. The next day you get a call. It didn't go through. He gave it to his brother-in-law on the golf course or something like that. The third moment is the keep or lose moment. The time when the customer is actually using the product or service that he or she bought from you. So if you've gotten that jewelry and you've given it to your spouse, this is a perfect time for the seller to call and say, did she really enjoy it? Does it really look good on her? Reinforcement is a very valuable thing. It's not used very much because as soon as the seller gets the transaction completed, he or she thinks the job is done. They can move on. No, they've got to remain top of mind, and they've got to make sure their customer is happy, satisfied with the service and the product. And the final moment is the multiplier moment. This is where the payoff is for going through the first three moments. The multiplier moment is when you want to get repeat purchases from that same customer. It's when you want advocacy from that person. And then the third area is referrals. Many people can get them, but don't know how to ask for referrals. So those are the four moments.
Okay, so the critical issue is making sure that customers have good experiences.
Absolutely. It's all about customer experience. Let me give you an example. Amazon's been selling hardcover books for 15 years. They have sold, in 33 months, more Kindle books than hardcover books because they give a very good customer experience from its technology all the way through the service.
And how about customer preference? Can you explain this concept to us?
Yes, you cannot create loyalty anymore, or it's very difficult, if not impossible, to do. But what you can do is to create preference. Preference sometimes comes with little things. For example, I perceive, I don't know why, that mobile gas stations have cleaner bathrooms. And I'll stop there to get gas. Preference comes at each of the four moments. And what happens is the customer has either a 3 a.m. nightmare. Oh, what happens if she doesn't love it? What happens if I buy this huge installation of telephone equipment and it doesn't work? Or they just want to do it. They need reinforcement at each of these steps. So that's how you create preference. You do something for somebody. Here's an example. You want to get flowers for Mother's Day, and you don't know anything about flowers. You're looking for a salesperson who can tell you something about flowers. So you might go to two or three places, and you go to one, and that person says to you, these are really beautiful. And you say, but will they last? Will Mom really like it? And all those kinds of things. And if that person tells you how long that flower will last or why Mom will like that flower, that bouquet, or that plant, you're inclined to buy from them. So you have to create preference at every stage in order to get to the last moment, which is repeat customers, advocacy, and referrals.
So a wise seller can take a customer through all four moments in order to achieve customer preference?
It's essential. It's not that they can do it. Many people do it well. This is a quote from Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon. It's getting harder to convince people to buy a mediocre product. The balance of power is shifting toward the consumers and away from companies. The individual is empowered. If I build a great product or service, my customers will tell each other. One of the things that's going on is social media. If you have a good customer experience, you want to tell all the people on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn And if you have a bad experience, you want to tell them. So the seller is extraordinarily vulnerable because at any moment, one of his customers can say good things about him or bad things about him. That used to happen over the back fence between two people. Today, it happens between thousands of people instantly across the world.
And what can you do to recover customer preference if you've lost it?
It's tough to do for a couple of reasons. First of all, we never think that our competition is out there after our business once we've got it. But all good salespeople are after all of those potential buyers. They're chasing that customer. So if the customer bought from X but didn't get any real feeling of customer preference, they're very vulnerable to somebody who will offer that to them. Sales wonder why. The other thing is, it's all very perishable. If the restaurant owner or the restaurant manager stands at the door doing nothing while you've had slow service and then says, come back again, you won't come back again. The easiest way to kill a restaurant is for customers to have a bad experience because they will tell everybody about it. It's very hard to recover, but it is possible to recover if you will engage that customer.
Okay, but can you explain what you mean by that?
I'll give you an example.
All right.
I have a client in Australia who ships heavy equipment all the way across the world, drilling equipment, construction equipment. He has a blog, and what he does is tell his customers all the time about how he does it versus how his competition does it. But not in a rude way, just says, if your cargo is on the top of the ship, that cargo's vulnerable. I never send my cargo on the top of the ship. It's always in the hole. And I said to him, what's your customer? It's 3 a.m. nightmare. And he said that the equipment won't get there on time or that it'll be damaged. So he knows very clearly what that nightmare is. Now, every customer has three positive emotions. I want it. I like it. I aspire to it. And three negative ones. I have some concerns. I have a lot of apprehension. And then finally, I'm frightened. I'm scared. If you can connect with that customer at all four moments, ask some questions, talk to them all the way through, then you can recover, but it's really tough to do.
And just to wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I get a lot of questions about who's doing this right. And the answer is thousands of restaurant owners, thousands of corner pharmacists, even a small but knowledgeable bookseller you'll go back to because you're tired of being sold something at a big bookstore where the help desk person doesn't know any more than you do. So the thing that I would tell you is that there are a lot of people delivering customer preference, really doing it right. Everybody knows the iconic ones. Apple just announced they sold 3 million iPads, generating $2 billion in revenue in 4 months. That takes being an organization that's totally aligned behind one thing, and that's customer preference. And it's not about selling. The people who get it right, like Amazon, like Apple, understand that you have to have alignment throughout your organization. If you're a small company, that may be three people. It may be just you, but means that all the tasks from front end to back end have to be done well. If you're a giant organization, it requires training and discipline, so it starts with the back end all the way to the front end. It's got to be alignment behind customer preference.
We've been speaking to Robert H. Bloom, author of the new book, The New Experts, Win Today's Newly Empowered Customers at Their Four Decisive Moments. Please visit www.thenewexperts.com for more information. Bob, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
Dave, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. We'd love to get your feedback on today's program. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.